Chapter 6. Robin finished work at 2 a.m., but she didn't want to go home alone. When she finished cleaning her tables, she went over to Richard, the bouncer, and invited him back to her apartment for a glass of wine. He was a weightlifter with curly brown hair who had spent his entire life in Minnesota. Robin was pretty sure that he'd never had a serious thought about a woman in his life. And the idea of that, plus the muscles, made him very attractive. He followed her to the apartment in his Jeep and grabbed her ass on the stairs up to her place. He kissed her hard on the mouth as soon as she closed the door and pinched her nipples until she yelped. Then they fucked. He rammed himself into her like he was using his cock to beat a drunk's face. She clawed his back and shoulders with her nails until he said, "Hey, baby, you're hurting me." She grinned up at him and said, "I know." "You little cunt." He grunted and took his cock out of her, grabbed her by the hair, and shoved it into her face. "Open your mouth, bitch." Robin did as she was told. She started to gag a little on the taste of herself, but then his cock exploded in her mouth. She choked and spit it out in time to get the last part of his orgasm in her face. Then he collapsed and said, "You were great." "You were perfect too," said Robin. "But I need to get some sleep. I'd like to be alone now." As he was standing by the door, he said, "We never even got to the glass of wine." "Isn't that strange?" said Robin. "Maybe we should do this more often," said Richard. "I'll let you know, but I'm sort of involved in some things right now." "I know what you mean. Good night." He left without kissing her. Robin poured herself a large glass of wine and opened a book. She sipped her wine and thought about how a brute like Richard would significantly uncomplicate her life. Things were funny that way. She thought about how she would definitely call him Dick from now on, even though he did have a small one, considering the size of him. At 5 a.m., the telephone woke her up. It was Alex. "I'm going to lose my mind if I can't see you again," he said. "You're not going to lose your mind. You're going to make a life with Penny and Yuri and forget that anything ever went on between us." "I can't do that." "You haven't tried." "I don't want to live without you, Robin." "That's a very silly thing to say." "Can we meet for lunch?" "I'm going to be very busy today." "What about tomorrow?" "No." "Robin, please." "No. I'm going to hang up now," she said, and clicked down the receiver. The phone rang again. She thought about not picking it up, but decided he would keep on trying. "Robin, I need you." "Alex, if you call me again, I'm going to go out and see Penny and tell her everything that she only suspects is true." "Why would you want to do that?" "To make you go away," said Robin, and hung the phone up again. This time, he didn't call back. Robin made some coffee. She would have to get more sleep at some point, but she knew that she wouldn't be able to fall back just yet, and the thought that she might as well do some work hit her. Lenny wandered into the kitchen and meowed at her. "What did you think of the bull that was here tonight, Lenny?" The cat walked over to her litter box and stared at it and then back at Robin. "Well, aren't you being judgmental this morning? I'd like to get a look at some of the alley cats that you stick your tail up for. I'll bet some of them are real prizes." Lenny meowed at her. "Okay, I'm sorry. I'm just a bit cranky from lack of sleep. Don't take it personally." At 7:30, she bathed and straightened out the apartment. She cut up some fresh vegetables for a salad she was going to have for dinner. Then she drove down to St. Paul and went to church. She sat quietly in the last pew and watched the priest and the old people celebrate Mass. She thought about how her great-grandmother used to plant seeds in the garden and get down on her knees and say, "God, please make this grow." She wondered what her grandmother would think of her now. After the Mass was over, she went up to one side of the altar and lit a candle. Didn't pray, but knelt there and watched the flame dance on the melting wax. She thought she must have stayed there for a long time, because her knees were stiff when she rose. She went back to her apartment. She climbed into bed, drifted off to sleep. When Ron woke up, his head was foggy from the pot he'd smoked with Chris the night before. He dreamt of Robin again. This time, they were in bed together, and they were making love. He remembered the feel of her fingertips on his rear and how she whispered to him, "Come good inside me. Let it all out." Ron didn't want to get up. He reached under the covers and felt for his cock. It was sticky. "Shit, I had a wet dream," he said. Threw the covers back and got out of bed. Morin was sitting at the kitchen, writing on a pad that he'd attached to a clipboard. "How are you?" he drawled. "I had a good night's sleep, except for the dreams." "What did you dream about?" "Robin and me." Morin didn't answer, and Ron poured himself some coffee and sat down. He lit a cigarette. "You find it a bit contrary? Be a vegetarian and do all that yoga stuff and still smoke cigarettes?" said Warren. "I never thought about it." "You thought about what you're going to do with your life?" "I suppose I should." "What happened to you out there, Ron?" "I just got all fucked up in my head, and now I don't know how to get out of it." "I think you should come into the city tonight. Spend some time with R. Collins." Ron raised his head and their eyes met. Morin was looking at him gently, and Ron could sense his concern. "Okay. Good. Come in around 9 p.m., and the three of us can have a talk." Chris came to the pet kitchen wearing a pair of horizontally striped jeans and no shirt. His hair hung down below his shoulders. When he saw Ron and Warren talking, he stopped, stretched, wiggled his toes, cracked his fingers, poured himself some coffee. "What's on the agenda for today?" he said to Warren. "I'm going to get some work done this morning and head into the city early this afternoon. You're having the boys tonight, right? Rock and roll band practice." "Is this band ever going to do anything more than practice and get high?" "Oh, man. First thing in the morning?" "Yeah, we've got a gig at Pistol Pete's in 2 weeks." "Ron," said Chris, "could you lay down some basic rhythm chords that I can work on my flute?" "When?" He looked at Warren and said, "Let's do it now." "Sure. Let's smoke a joint first," said Chris, staring up at Warren. Warren grimaced. "I'm going to go down to the college and finish up my work. Then I'll head straight into the city from there. Let's have dinner tomorrow night." "I don't know," said Chris. "I'm waiting to hear from Peter." "When is that going to happen?" "In the next few days. Give me some warning, okay?" "Sure." Chris got up from the table and returned with his tray of pot. "Roll a joint, man," he said to Ron. Warren watched Ron clean the seeds out of the pot. He took out his pipe and began to fill it from his tobacco pouch. When the seeds and twigs were at the bottom of the tray, he watched the way Ron delicately scratched through the clean pot, pick out the last couple of seeds and seed shells. He was very thorough, trying to preserve as much leaf as he could. Then he folded the paper and loaded it up. He wrapped the paper into a tight tube and finally crushed it together as he rolled the cylinder up to the glue top, which he licked lightly, quickly, before sealing. Chris sat and watched as well. He rolled a second joint, and Ron realized that they would watch him as long as he rolled. Then Chris got up and headed for the stereo. "I want to learn a flute solo to put with Dylan's All Along the Watchtower. You know the chords, right?" "Yeah," said Ron. Warren got up and went to his room to pack his books and papers. As the music started, Chris lit the joint, began to put his flute together. Chris and Ron spent the day smoking joints and playing music. Loreen and Ruth had left for work before any of the guys had gotten up, so after Warren left, they had the house to themselves. Ron said, "I'm going into the city tonight to talk with Warren and Art Collins." "On purpose?" "What do you mean?" Ron laughed. "Yeah, on purpose." "What for?" "I'm having some very weird dreams. I don't really feel my head's in a good place at all." Chris continued to fiddle with the unaccustomed electric guitar while Ron spoke. "Why not?" "Pretty much because of what happened out in Minnesota. I haven't really told anybody about it yet." "I figured you would when you're ready." Robin's got another man, and, well, it's her cousin's husband. I didn't realize it at first. I thought they were friends, the same way they were friends when we were living together out here, and he would come out on business and spend a day or two at our house. Robin and I haven't slept together since she moved away, but I figured we would get back together when I got out there, and it's just the two of us, you know? Chris nodded and kept on playing. I was there for about 4 days when he came over after work. Robin told me that he was stopping by and that the three of us were going out for dinner. I wondered where his wife was, but I figured she was home with the kid, you know? The dinner was tense because nobody was talking about much of anything, and I remember feeling a bit queasy when Robin sat next to Alex in the booth. After dinner, we went back to her apartment, and that's when they told me they were having an affair. "What'd you do?" "I didn't do anything. I kept playing Leonard Cohen songs on the stereo, rocking back and forth in a rocking chair. I kept on inventing reasons why it wouldn't be a good idea for them to keep on seeing each other. I could see that I was getting absolutely nowhere, but I couldn't stop myself from talking and trying to reason with them. It went on for hours, and by the end, I was screaming at myself to shut up on the inside, but I was still talking with them about what was going to happen to his son, what it had been like for me when my parents got divorced. I remember seeing Robin wince when I brought that stuff up, and I thought after Alex went home, I would be able to get someplace with her by appealing to her sense of loyalty and family. You gotta understand, Chris, at the same time I'm doing all this, I'm also calling myself a chicken shit coward for not just grabbing him by the throat and killing him. I must be a chicken shit, because that's exactly what I should have done. Would that have made anything better? I don't know. I wouldn't feel like I'd acted quite as much like a jerk-off, you know? Well, Alex didn't go home. What do you mean? He slept in the apartment with her that night. Where did you sleep? In the apartment? Why? I don't know. It was very late when we finished talking, and that's when Robin came over next to me for the first time and whispered in my ear that Alex was going to sleep there. I didn't know where to go. I didn't have a car because we had brought it over to the shop to have the oil changed and a bent tire rod that I'd picked up on the way there fixed. When she told me, I lost control. I started to cry in front of them. Then I picked up a cushion from the couch and dragged it into the kitchen because it was the only room besides the bathroom that had a door. She fucked them all night. They didn't sleep. I know because I didn't sleep. She fucked them all night long with me there in the next room. I haven't felt right about myself since then, except that I made one promise to myself, and that was that even if it killed me, I was going to destroy that relationship. Chris spoke carefully. It sounds like this is really tearing you up inside. That's how it feels, too. It's not just being sad. It's something very physical. Like something in me that's broken. And I think it's stupid. And I want it to stop. But I can't make it stop. Chris looked uncomfortable. He'd started to reach for the pot tray and then decided that wasn't a good idea. Thought about picking up his guitar. Decided against it. Felt very relieved when Ron got up and said he was going to take a shower. Telling Chris about what had happened in Minneapolis didn't make him feel any better. It made him feel further away from her. Somehow he only kept it to himself, kept it inside. It was better because it only belonged to the two of them. He sat in the backyard after the shower and stared at the pad that had been using. Somehow telling it to the paper could bring them close again. Morin had taught him to love poetry, but when he wrote, he was alone with Robin. He could bring her there and keep her there for as long as he could sustain the vision. That morning, after she had me sleep on the floor, I told her I had to go away. She said I looked like I wanted to die. I told her I'd be okay. She asked how I knew, lit a candle in the center of the room. Crashing in my heart was like the thunder in the sky. She drew in with her hands from the north and began to chant. The air filled with dancers as large as the dust. She said a careless death was a sloppy compromise that brought nobody any closer. It hadn't happened that way, but it was the way he saw it in his imagination. She had said those things to him, not that morning, but she had said them. He could see her sitting there, chanting. He wondered where that came from. He could absolutely see himself sitting there with her in the room. He put the pen down and tried to stay there. If he didn't move, and no one made a sound, it would be okay.